And Katie is back on the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast. That's my beautiful wife sitting across from me, and I am Mitch. Say hello, Katie, so people know you exist, and I'm not talking to nobody.
Hello.
We are ready to rock and roll. We are back and raring to go. We've been wanting to do this for a long time, and we took a long hiatus, and I blame it on you. Because you got pregnant and you had our beautiful child who's now 16 months old, and it took you a while to get back in the flow of things.
Yes, that's very true. But I think I can blame you a little bit, too, because you came in there with your appendicitis and then your big abscess infection and all of your health complications that you had about a year ago.
Yeah, well, I can blame Mother Nature because the tornado came through and destroyed our house.
Yep, that did happen about 10 months ago. So we have been displaced for about 10 months. We have been trying to put the pieces back together. Thankfully, no one was hurt. And we have some stories to share about that. And that is coming in a future episode. Thankfully, we were able to move back home a few weeks ago. And we have been staying home at our house, which is fantastic. We've had some other health challenges along the way with our children, but life is always an adventure. I think we can say that for sure.
And right now, I feel like it's an adventure for everybody as we're all going through this COVID-19 pandemic, the pandemic of the century.
It's a big deal. It's been very disruptive for very many people. Anxiety, anger, even a lot of suspicion are running high, at least in my newsfeed.
What's a newsfeed?
Oh, you know, some people like Facebook. I'm one of those old people that's still on Facebook a lot. I think we need to ask, what is actually true? What do we actually know that's true? And should we not make those things our focus in this time when our enemy is invisible, this virus, and we don't know anything for sure? I think we need to go to God's word.
All right, let's go to God's word. What does God's word say?
Well, I would like to kind of zoom out and say, what is the gospel and how does that apply to what we're seeing in the world today? So some really smart people have kind of broken the gospel down into four components, which I find helpful in looking at this. So essentially, the gospel is the good news of Jesus. And you could break it down to four parts: creation, the fall, when we sinned and sin entered the world, and then redemption of Christ coming to die for our sins and redeem creation and the world. And then we also look forward to restoration in heaven. So looking at that in light of COVID-19, creation, when God made the world, it wasn't this way.
Nope. It was 100% perfect. Eden was perfect. There was a garden that God walked around. His presence was there with us. And Adam and Eve were there. And there was no sickness. There was no even thought of COVID-19 or anything like that. It was just mere perfection. We were just one with God and enjoying His creation and His beauty. And very, very hard to imagine at this point, but also really cool to imagine.
They weren't afraid. They didn't worry about how they were going to eat or how they were going to have clothes or provide or the things that they needed.
It was carefree. Or who was going to give them a haircut. Yep.
Are you scared that I'm going to give you a haircut? Because I think I'm about there. You're looking a little shaggy.
I do need a haircut.
So then, of course, we know and we live this reality every day that Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled against God's rules and His perfect way, and they received the consequence that He said they would have. Death entered the world, and that meant that things began to unravel.
Yeah, and we're going to feel that in a very real way right now with COVID-19. Things just aren't perfect, and that includes what's going on in the world at this point.
People are getting very sick. Loved ones are getting very sick and dying in many cases, really. And this isn't new. Apart from COVID, this was already happening. But I think that in some ways, we're more confronted with it now than normal. It's very much in the news, and there is a lot of anxiety around these things. People are out of work. I know our livelihood has been very affected by this, and we don't know the full long-term implications of that.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of really hard things going on right now. And this is a reflection of the fallen world that we live in. It's not supposed to be this way. And creation is broken because of sin.
Yep. And a lot of people want to put it on God. Like, why is God punishing? Why is God doing this to us? He's allowing this to happen, but the ultimate reason that it's happening is because of the fall and because of sin that entered the world. But the good news is there is redemption, and God didn't leave us there. He didn't leave us all alone to fend for ourselves as we go through this world
in a broken way. The consequences. He didn't just leave us in the consequences of sin to get exactly what we deserved, which was death. He entered into the story. Jesus came, he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross as a sacrifice, and that sacrifice covers us so that death does not have the last word. In fact, we are given an eternal life that starts now. So even though our bodies die, we will live forever with God in heaven. And not only that big picture redemption of our salvation, but we are seeing Christ's redemption in the small moments of our lives. And his redemption is present even in the current crisis that we're facing.
And we are fighting quite a crisis, but Katie, I'm a practical man. I want practical examples. What could this redemption actually look like in the real world?
It's just redemption. It just kind of sparkles in the air. And no, they're...
Oh, okay. Sparkles. Like the glitter bomb our kids saw off the other day.
Our children were not supervised at the moment, and they decided to what?
Open a big jar of glitter and shake it.
I was told they were dancing with the open glitter. So I was not home, so I did not have to help clean that up.
I was just trying to work, make some money.
But so I think one thing that we're seeing is people are considering their own mortality for the first time. They're undistracted by the busyness of life. And when you consider death and the fact that this it is going to happen to you and it might happen sooner than you want, that is leading people to seek. And I know, for example, my sister was telling me that she had shared some church services on Facebook and created watch parties or whatnot, and people were chiming in and listening to those that she would not have expected. So I think that there are a lot of opportunities right now for the gospel to enter into new people's lives and for new people to find eternal life with God because of this very hard thing. I mean, there's hardly a better example of redemption that I could think of.
Well, if that's simply the best one, I can't really follow that up. But I think something that's really redeeming in all of this is the fact that a lot of people get to spend more time with the families. And that's not necessarily true for our medical workers or people that are really in the thick of this or are in a critical area, even like grocery store workers, or, you know, there's so many different people that are so important and don't get to spend extra time with their families. They get to spend less time with their families, which is really tough for them, and that stinks. But for a lot of us, we get to spend a lot more time with our families, and we get to learn more about each other and more what it's like. And some days I've noticed that can be really tough, especially when it was a little colder and we were inside all day and all six of us were here and we didn't have our nightly activities normally. It was tough sometimes, but there was also a lot of redemption in that, of just getting to know my kids better and getting to spend time with them and think about what activities can we do tonight to replace the stuff that they normally get shipped off to do. Now we get to replace that and do that as a family. And what does that look like? And how can I enjoy this time and use it as a way to bring our family together and tighter? We're blessed with four children, so we're not sitting in a tiny apartment in New York City with just Katie and me
or alone.
Suffering through. You know, it's there's a lot of people that are in much tougher situations than us. But I've really enjoyed the redeeming value of spending more time with my family.
Yeah. I've been surprised, to be honest, to see how much of a reconnection that we have made within our household and how much more the kids are playing with each other, how much more content they are together, how much more content they are with us and happy and not really looking for those other things to fill their cup. And that's surprising because we already homeschool and Mitch and I work from home. So there's not there's already a lot of togetherness, but this has really changed that. And we're just at a much slower pace in the evenings of settling in and either working together as a family or just resting and enjoying each other.
What else? Any other examples you have over there, Mrs. Bennett?
I think that there are a lot of idols that have been stripped away for a lot of people, whether that's money or friends or popularity, sports. I mean, that's not hard for me, but I know some people are really upset about the lack of sports right now.
Excuse me while I cry.
Activities. Some people find a lot of their meaning in whatever activity they're a part of, and some people are losing their health in this current situation. So I think that there's always a positive side when idols are removed, that we are forced to confront them and that God is able to draw us more to himself. And this is just, I guess, kind of the general feeling of my first example that non-believers might be considering Christ. Also, similar to that, Christians are going to be considering God more because now we have the time and space, some of us, to be more alone with him, to have more time to spend in his word, to be more alone and reflective with our own thoughts. And that's a really fertile ground for God to beginning his to work in new ways.
Yeah, and I would just encourage you on that. Take that time, to take that extra time to actually be quiet and rest and listen and not fill it with podcasts or videos or whatever it is that you can just mindlessly fill your time with, games. But instead, say, take some of that time and be quiet and rest and listen and just be with your thoughts and let God work in your lives.
And, I mean, I think being in nature helps with that, too. I've enjoyed...
If you can do that.
Yeah, it can be tough in some situations. But, yeah, I think that just time outside, it's a really good way for me to connect more with God and even my family, too.
So we've talked about redemption, which is the third part of the gospel that you started with, creation and the fall being the first two. But then we get to restoration, and that is probably the most important piece, if you ask me.
Well, it's definitely a more fun piece than the fall, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah.
Yep, restoration is our hope. And by hope, we don't mean something that we're really, really wishing is going to be true, but it is a firm, definite thing. It's hope, a noun, and that is eternity, where everything is going to be restored. So we have the present redemptions that we see of all the inconvenience and suffering, but there is also this one day that we get to fix our eyes on and set our heart on and know that we don't need to fear if our life goes off course because of COVID-19 or any other reason. We don't need to fear our own death or the loss of a loved one because it's all going to be made right one day in Christ for those who believe in him and love him. And yes, we grieve so deeply all the hard things that are happening right now, but we do not grieve as the world grieves because we have this hope.
It's times like these that I really like to dig into the scriptures and see what they say, because sometimes, every time, they say it best. So,
yeah.
In Romans 8, first starting in verse 20, it says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we have hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
I love how well this section of, what is it, 9 verses, so clearly outlines the gospel. Creation, it was then subjected to frustration because of the will of God, because he had a plan to redeem it and set it free. So even though we have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for this redemption that's coming. It's already happened, but it's coming. And that's what we hope for. So we see here that God is going to help us in our weakness. When we are so broken that we don't know what to pray, he's going to pray for us in accordance with the will of God. And then I love that this whole section ends with this amazing truth that just is astonishing to me. And I just love thinking about it, meditating on it. It says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So the most hard thing that anyone is going through amidst COVID-19 pandemic, that's going to be used for good in some mysterious way that might be eternal, that we don't even see in this lifetime. It's going to be used for good.
It is going to be used for good, but sometimes that can be really hard to hear.
It can, but that's where faith comes in. So we really want to leave you guys with some walking instructions, because if you are like us, your mind is probably being filled with all kinds of things that you're seeing on social media or the news, and we do kind of try to limit that. Mitch, he's not there.
Two things I don't pay attention to, social media and the news.
Okay. Well, I do pay attention a little bit, especially to social media. So I want to give you guys just a few pointers. This is what you need to do, and this is basically all you need to do. The first one is to have faith and trust God. I know that can be easier said than done, but we're just going to keep reminding you, because we need to be reminded as well that God is sovereign. He's good. He is in control. And we can, by faith, choose to trust that. Remember that and rest in that.
And we also need to act in obedience to God. God has given us the directions. He's given us the plan. He took his knowledge and put it in the Bible for us. Most of us have access to that, which is awesome. If you have access to this podcast, you've got to have access to God's word. And we need to act in obedience according to the plan that he has laid out in the Bible.
Yeah, and I also think that that obedience can be to his direction in our lives. If he says, apply for this job, then we just do that. If he says, pour into your children, then we just do that. We don't need to look so far ahead, because really all that's needed is simple obedience and taking the next step. And then the third thing that we want you to do is to go in grace. Grace is what saves us, and it also empowers us to live a godly life. When your children or your spouse are getting on your last nerve, God's grace is what enables you to take a deep breath, stand up a little straighter, and just move forward in that grace and peace and patience and forgiveness.
And I think that is a good note to end on. We appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you soon, Lord willing.